gotten up to the place where this man, who was really a friend of mine, found that he was not on the orders to receive his commission with the rest of us. And he ran up to the person that he most trusted and who was perhaps his best friend in the company, and that was I. He came up to me to ask me why I thought he wasn't on there, and I had to look him in the eye and lie about it. Well, that's the last time I've ever seen him. I've often wondered where he went, what his career was, how much more damage this did to him in his life. I believe he was a college graduate himself, graduate perhaps the University of Chicago. Well, we had that, we had our graduation. I remember Joe had come and gone into town to buy a uniform, and so we appeared on the, we'd walk up to the platform just like any other graduation and receive our commission, all dressed in our new pinks, I believe is the way you describe that. That's the dress uniform, which was sort of pinkish, pants with the green jacket, I forget what you call them, with the brass buttons. Well, because I had been rated number one in the company, incidentally, there was one incident back then which I think is worth remembering. We had a battalion review. A battalion is normally made up of four companies, I guess, three rifle companies and a heavy platoon, a heavy weapons company. And I was chosen to command this entire battalion, something that was far beyond anything that I'd ever done. We marched on by companies, which means in platoon file, one company behind the other, but then we massed into one company, one body of, I guess, a thousand, or four times, well, 800 people. And I got us there. The way we'd march, I had to shout to my commands, which were relayed, as happens, by the company commanders and the platoon commanders. We massed, facing one direction, had to turn, face the reviewing stand, which was across something like a football field. And I gave them maybe I was just commanding our one company. I believe that's right. I was commanding just one company, not that whole bunch. But we were facing, but I could see up on the reviewing stand behind the colonel, or perhaps a general, but I think it's probably a colonel, under the lieutenant faculty, making a motion, which was to give parade rest instead of standing there at attention. And I picked up on that and gave the command rather than to keep them standing at attention. When we were addressed, I believe, then by the colonel, and then we had to move off the field. That meant a right face, and then one company after another marching off. I don't know where we were in that order. But we got to one place where I had to get around something, and it was the only time I'd ever given the command a blike. A blike is an army pronunciation of oblique, which means instead of doing a, gosh, what do you call it? But anyway, move at an angle. And the command was right oblique, you know, the command of execution, and then a forward march, which started us back on the same course. This is interesting to me because it was a matter of great crisis. By marching 200 men forward and had run over something or run into a house, I had them have to disperse around some obstacle. But that was the first time I'd ever used it, and they fortunately were able to take the command. But anyway, here I am. Now we're talking about graduation. I was assigned on graduation to the 124th Infantry there on the base, and still out in Harmony Church area. This was the area where the 3rd Student Training Regiment were all billeted. The 124th Infantry were training troops. We did two things. One is as the new companies would come of officer candidates, they had to learn to take down rifles and machine guns and this sort of thing. So the non-commissioned officers in the 124th Infantry would sit at the table with this, then usually with an officer like me to take the unit to where this, to meet these classes. The other thing that we did was to conduct training demonstrations. But I'm getting a little bit ahead. At that time, it was after Christmas, they gave us perhaps what was called a 10-day delay en route, or en route, to our new assignment. Mine was right there on the base at Fort Benning, but I got to go home. Joe was there at the graduation, and we drove home together. I can remember it was a pleasant drive in our little Ford. Served us so well through the war. We got extra rations, coupons, in order to make the trip. I can remember stopping somewhere. Now, Fort Benning is right on the border between Georgia and Alabama, right across the river from a notorious sinful spot, something city, Phoenix City. Well, somewhere along the road, probably, well, first night, or maybe we spent only one night on the road, we stopped in the town and stayed in a rooming house, boarding house. Very pleasant experience. It was January, or last, no, it was Christmas week. Had a boarding house table with a marvelous old-time cooking with four or five meats and many vegetables and all that sort of thing, two or three different kinds of dessert. But I remember particularly the room that we had, which had a fireplace in it and a fire burning in it, and a marvelous down quilt. That was a happy, happy night of rest and love. And we went on from there to Little Rock, where Joe came from, where we'd lived before we moved to Texarkana to take the job that I'd been given there a couple of years before I went in the Army. We stayed with her family. I don't remember which one of the family. I guess at her mother's house, maybe. And I do remember going to church. It was important to me because this was part of my conversion, if you please, although it was early. Well, I reported back to Fort Benning. Joe stayed on there. And I went, and I was, I stopped to recall just when we did get back together again. It was while I was going through basic training that Joe got her, she already had a private pilot's license, but she got her instructor's license and taught Navy primary students to fly in Fort Worth. And she also ferried small planes from Ohio or someplace back home. Well, I went on back to Fort Benning and to get into my assignment, into the new command there. And Joe joined me later. Like every place else, my day was as full from morning to night as it possibly could be, and I was bucking for to be a good officer, to get good, what do you call it anyway, on your card, they rate you, to get a good rating. They go from superior to excellent to good to fair to poor. And I had to, on Sunday, get off the base, go into Columbus, Georgia, which was a bus ride of 30 or 40 minutes, and go looking for a place to stay. Well, I found a little house that we could rent, which was not right in Columbus, but, well, I guess it was, but it was on the periphery. And it had a coal-burning stoves. It was a little, nice little country house. It pleased me all right, but Joe didn't like it. And, but it was a place for her to light. And after that, she found a great place. I remember one little incident that I like to repeat. And Joe doesn't particularly like to hear it repeated. But it was the first time that I've ever really had words when I was suddenly angered. Usually I sort of take a slow burn and try to think of what I wish I had said. But it was during this first period there that we were taking a walk on, just while we were in that first house. We were walking around Columbus someplace. There wasn't much to do in the town for a man and his wife. And she was telling me about teaching these flyers, these young fellas, to fly. And at one time she said, I get pretty hard with them once in a while, and I sort of use their language or cuss like the others. And if they're not really putting out, well, I remember saying to one, if you don't learn to fly this damn plane, you're going to be in the foot army tomorrow. And I said, now wait a minute, I'm in the foot army, and I'm proud of it. Every branch of the army is in support of the infantry, and don't let me ever hear you say that again. Which was, I don't know why this seems important to me. I do remember one thing. Going back to the day before I graduated, they held us over for the 26th. And that meant, and Joe was there, and I don't know where she was staying, in a tourist court or someplace. And we were in Columbus on Christmas Day, and everything was closed. We didn't even have a place to go. There was a woman of various, almost a caricature of a Southerner, who had gone to school with Joe's mother, and Joe had visited her there during this particular stay. And she had gone on about how she felt that she was her own daughter, and that she just wanted us to make her home, our home. Well, we had no place to go on Christmas Day, and I remember that we went up and knocked on their door. Someone came to the door and almost shut it in our faces that sorry that everybody was busy. And this to me has always been a somehow an insight into what's called Southern hospitality. This effusive, be sure to stop and see us whenever you're in town, which is really just an empty thing. It's so often without substance. I remember that the only way we found anything to eat was we were walking along near a delicatessen, which itself was closed, a bakery delicatessen, and we saw someone go in there, unlock it and go in, and we went and asked if we could buy something, and we did, and we sat on a curb and ate, I guess it was our Christmas supper there. So back to getting back my time back in proper sequence, Joe found a great spot no, I guess I found it, because in my company was a fellow named Milton, no, not Milton Potts, something Potts, and he and his wife had a little sort of a attached apartment, a little apartment, an efficiency apartment attached to the home of somebody named Krogland, and they were getting ready to vacate it. You can imagine that with this influx of this tremendous number of men, not only there, but the parachute school and all the other things there on the base, of how scarce that kind of housing was. So only because he told us were we able to move in behind him. That was a happy time and a happy place. It was easy to care for, a nice little efficiency kitchen, bathroom, and a bed that made down. And the Kroglands were good to us. He made, we gave him our sugar ration coupons, and he made homebrew and shared the homebrew with us, which was particularly good. And we were at an age when you drank beer. Just a little interlude. I'm listening to Tosca on Saturday afternoon Metropolitan Opera. Lucy is dead.